This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen. There's been a big drop in violence in Baghdad since the U.S. troop surge was launched almost exactly a year ago. But as NPR's Lourdes Garcia-Navarro now reports, the relative calm that has descended on the Iraqi capital has come at a price.
I'm standing on the road between two neighborhoods. On my left is the Sunni area of Adamiya. On my right, the Shiite area of Qahira. And from here, you can see exactly what has happened to so much of the city. Huge blast walls line either side of the road. The Sunni side is controlled by tribal neighborhood watches. The Shiite area is protected by the Shiite-dominated police. Baghdad has become a maze of divisions and areas of control where ethnic and religious tensions have been subsumed but not eradicated. Policeman Nabil Karim Shamkhi holds a radio. There's been an IED attack, a voice crackles. Shamkhi turns the sound down. Things are better in his neighborhood of Qahira, though attacks continue.
People are tired of fighting, of sorrow. Now they've started to report anyone who fires a single bullet. We've given people our number and they call us and give us tips. People are fed up.
Qahira was long controlled by the Mehdi army, the militia loyal to cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. In tit-for-tat violence during the height of the sectarian battles, bodies would turn up dumped on the streets. Still, Officer Shamhi's area of control is limited and is seemingly still restricted by sect.
Al-Adamiya sector is different from ours. I'm in charge of this sector, in charge of this street. I have no authority to go beyond that.
Inside Adamiya, the Awakening Group's U.S.-backed Sunni tribal security forces hold sway, and Shamkhi doesn't trust them.
We have no idea about their background. How can I trust you if I know nothing about your background or who you worked for before?
It's a concern that residents of Qahira share. 35-year-old Majid Ahmed Mohammed sells fat, woolly brown and white sheep at a busy intersection for about $95 each. A Shiite, he was born and raised in Adamiya until he was chased out. He tried to go back, but he says he was forced out again by the Sunni paramilitaries.
The men of the Awakening kill people. I will never get back there until there is a better security situation and the government takes over.
Across the road at the entrance to Adamiya, cars are stopped by Iraqi army officers. Once through that checkpoint, security is mostly in the control of members of the local Sunni watch groups. Ammar Ibrahim Habib is among the 700 Awakening Group members who are in this sector. He complains that the Awakening movement is being ignored by the Shiite-dominated government.
We didn't receive any support from the government. We're getting bigger and many volunteers want to join the Awakening, but our numbers have been limited.
The Shiite political class has been ambivalent about these Awakening groups. Despite calls to incorporate them into the security forces, they haven't been. Habib says that their loyalty, at the moment at least, is not to the government, but to the Americans who back them.
We need the Americans because we don't have enough support. Our situation is not good. We don't have uniforms and we don't have ammunition.
For the local population, though, things are undeniably better in Adamiya now. Shops are being reopened one at a time. Still, at a nearby hair salon, Sundus Tarek Yaqub expresses what many people fear. She doesn't believe that Sunni and Shia will ever be able to live together like they did before. The walls and the divisions they represent are here to stay, she says.
Everyone had some relative killed, and they want to take revenge. 58 people on both sides want to take revenge still.
A mosque right on the border between Qahira and Adamiya. A month ago, joint prayers were held here, bringing people together from both communities. Still, everyone admits that peace is fragile right now. People say the unresolved issues of the past brutal 5 years linger. Lourdes Garcia-Navarro, NPR News, Baghdad.